Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, morning. So we went down to Lancaster in California a couple of weeks ago, and I've had this kind of topic or subject or headline, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, in my head since then. I came back, and I usually pray about it for a long time. I usually change the title of my talk like 20 times. You can ask Pastor Josh when I like message him, be like, do you mind if I update my PowerPoint one more time? And he's like, again? And I'm like, yeah, because why not keep you on your toes, right? But this one's, again, this one that's kind of stuck with me for a long time now. And I'm really thankful for that, because it's something that I needed to kind of study about. I needed something to kind of take out of this as well. So I'm really thankful for the message. I'm really thankful for the study it caused me to do, and for what God's done in my heart also. So this morning we're going to be looking through 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 10. But I just wanted to ask you a question. Who here knows of a church called Cornerstone? Anyone ever driven past a church called Cornerstone? I asked this question when I was really young. I became a Christian when I was 15. But in England, there was a phase. The new churches, all the new churches were called, blah, blah, the Cornerstone. You know, whatever street you're on, Cornerstone Church. Or Jesus Christ, Cornerstone Andover, which Andover is where I grew up in England. It's a tiny little town in the south. But the point is, I asked this question to my pastor, Bernard, big guy, really, really intelligent guy, really intimidating guy. I said to him, well, which one's the real Cornerstone? Which one's the best one? Because there's tons of them. I don't know which one to trust. Do you know that in Spokane area, there are four Cornerstone churches? There's Cornerstone North. Crazy enough, Cornerstone Church South. Arch rivals, right? No, I don't know. Cornerstone Pentecostal Church and Cornerstone Community Church. Again, that was just a little Google of Cornerstone Church, and it's not a hit out of those churches in any way. I haven't visited them. I don't know how they run or anything like that. But it made me ask the question again, well, which one's the real one? Even in the Spokane area. But I'm really thankful that we have Jesus. Yeah. Who identifies as the cornerstone, as the real cornerstone, the true cornerstone. I'm thankful for that. So we're going to be working through, and I've kind of split these three, my sermon into three sections here. The first section is verses 1 to 3. The next is, I believe it's up to 4 to 8, and then the final two verses, 9 and 10. So you can either write that down onto your guidelines about how we're going to be flowing here, but I just want to kind of address the different sections that I read and studied through. But verses 1 to 3, and Pastor's already read them, but I'm going to read them again now. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But laying aside all malice, laying aside all guile. I think I've got a slide actually with this on. Let's see. Oh, there we go. All right, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. What a world that would be, right? What a world that would be if we could even just get rid of all of that. If we could lay that aside. If we could look at our hearts right now and think, do I have any malice in there? Do I have any guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings? Do I hold anything against anyone? Do I have any of that against anyone? Do I have any of that inside of me? Brothers and sisters, I can tell you this morning, I have some of that in my heart. I know I do. I try and address it. I try and be honest. I try and take care of those things as soon as they pop up. But you know what? That's why I need Jesus. And I'm thankful that I can turn to him and say, help. I don't know what to do with this. Help. Right? But what a world we would live in if that was the case, if we could just handle that stuff off. But we've been challenged to do that. As Christians, we're challenged to say, lay aside these things. Clear them out. You see them in your life, get rid of them. Don't let them linger. Don't let them take root. Don't let them take hold. Get rid of them. And this next part, I enjoyed this next section because I got to look at baby pictures of Army and Kyrie. And I don't know if you guys have seen any of these. They're on Minor Rachel's Facebook or Instagrams or whatever social medias you guys are on. We probably got pictures of our kids on there. We kind of like them. So, but this whole idea here of a newborn baby desiring milk, that's us as new Christians. That's us when we first get to see Jesus and we need that satisfaction. We need to be fed. So desire is a strong word, but I want to kind of give you an idea about our boys. So here they are. This is Army on the left-hand side, and this is Kai on the right. And they look pretty similar. They both came out of red faces. They both came out of a good set of hair, and they're both really active babies. They're fantastic. It was great. Army was typically easygoing. Army was fantastic. I'm not saying that Kai isn't, just saying Army started off that way. Okay, so Army would walk around and he was just happy to be in a nappy or a diaper. Diaper, there you go. And he would just stroll around, happy as can be. Don't really care. It's all good. Anyone can see anything. It's all great. And he wouldn't moan and he wouldn't fuss. You put food in front of him, that food would be destroyed. You'd put a bottle in front of him. Oh, I can handle this myself, Mom and Dad. Step aside. I can do this. And he would just do it. He didn't fuss too much. He didn't cry too much. We're like, wow, we got this parenting thing down. This is great. Why not have a second? Because we're clearly great at this. Then Kai came. And just hear me now. I love my sons. I love them so much. But it is so funny how different the first and second can be. Kyrie came out. Army came out. And I was like, oh, there's no sound. When Rachel had to have an emergency C-section. And so they were kind of trying to work on Army and trying to get him to make some noise and to start. And I'm like, why is there no noise? Like, yeah, your baby's fine. And I'm like, why isn't he crying? Because I've seen these programs and the babies cry when they come out. And then he met out a little whimper and he was fine. Kai made it into the world and everyone heard about it. Everyone heard about it. There was no time that there was when if you put him down, okay, bring him back up again. Okay. And it was just that. Army, super chilled. Kyrie needed 100% contact 100% of the time, 100%. So, and it's so funny. Again, the first baby and the second baby, Army, drink his milk all the way down, easy, done. Kai would fuss about it, would want to make sure you're watching. You're watching? No, throw the bottle away, I'm going to kick off a fuss about it, you know? And it was just the way it was, one to the other. If Army wanted milk, he would say, Mama, Dada, muck. And you go, muck, muck. You go, okay, you want some muck? Yeah, I want some muck. And he'd be like, yeah. And there'd be lots of nods, muck, muck. And you're like, oh, that's really cute. Of course you can have some milk. Kai would just be like, ah! And you're like, okay, I get the picture. I get the picture. And everyone on the street understands that you want milk as well. We get it. Just calm down for a second. And that was just the way it was. I'm really thankful he's past that now. But there's something to be said about a newborn baby desiring something. What happens when a baby wants something, they let you know about it. Something in my diaper, I'm going to tell you. I'm hungry, I'm going to tell you. I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to tell you. And there's this desire to let you know, right? And they want the thing that satisfies the most. Sometimes it's just contact. Sometimes it's milk to be fed. Sometimes it's to be changed or rolled over or to be burped or whatever it is. But it's that satisfaction that babies are looking for. That's kind of what I see in this passage here. A desire to be satisfied. And how do we as Christians be satisfied? Well, it's by the milk of the word. By reading about Jesus, by knowing God more. I kind of say this to the teenagers, the more we read your Bibles, the more you read your Bibles, the more you know who God is, what he's done and why he did it. It's not just about who he is and then you stop there. It's about all of it. Okay, why and who and when and what it means for us. There's a lot more things we can take out of this. But the word of God just like milk is for a baby, is necessary for the growth of a Christian.
That's right.
It's necessary.
That's true.
We should all personally desire the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you don't desire to read the Word of God, I would challenge you today. I would challenge you to talk to Jesus about that, to put an aching desire in your heart to get into the Word, to get into your Bibles. Bribing the teenagers works sometimes. Give them candy if they bring a Bible along with them. It works. This morning it was like a candy and a fruit snack. It was great. All the other kids are looking at the ones that have brought Bibles and they're like, they got two things today? Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. This thing's a weapon.
Yeah.
This thing's the truth. We should be wanting to have this active in our lives. If you're not desiring the Word of God in your life, then I want to challenge you to talk to Jesus about it, because that should be something burnt into us. I want to know more about you. And the way we get to know Jesus more is one, through prayer, talking to him, relationship, but by two, by reading the truth, by reading this book that we've been given, the Word of God. That's how you get to know him more. So I just want to challenge you with that this morning. But I want to say, basically, it's necessary, just like milk is. Okay, I really pray, and this is something that I've had to kind of get into as well. This is something that I've learned while studying this passage, while going into deeper. I really pray for all of us, specifically myself, that I will never tire out of the simple truths of the Bible, because that's the milk. Right? That's the milk. We're going to move on to steak later on in life when you get your teeth in, when you develop a little bit more, when you get a little more of an appetite. You're going to get into that harder stuff, the stuff you have to chew over, the stuff you have to challenge, and you have to work out where your standing is and what God's saying in the Bible. But actually where we start is the milk, that simple, simple truth. So my main prayer throughout this whole time is literally that we will never tire of the simple truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My kids have moved on from milk now, by the way. We went to Brother Scott and Sister Robin's house last year, and Army got to eat this big old steak or big old pork chop thing, and it's fantastic because this is the first time he like sat down and he devoured that thing. And the joy in his eyes was soon taken over by the ache in the belly. But you know what he did? He put those, as we call, developed teeth, those steak chompers into action, okay? And he wasn't just wanting milk anymore. He wasn't just wanting mac and cheese. I want the meat. But that's what we should be desiring as Christians. We should not just be sticking on milk. Because actually there is simple truth that we should understand 100%. But we need to move on to that meat. We need to move on in development as we know Jesus and understand him more and more. Yeah. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you tasted that? Have you tasted that he is good? Because if you haven't, I really want you to. Right? Psalm 34:8, I think I've got this on a slide here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Our God is good. Our God is gracious. If you haven't tasted that today, if you've not trusted in him today, I urge you to consider that. Please talk to us. Let us take a Bible. Let us take the Word of God, the truth, and show you. And show you how you can make sure that heaven is your home. If you've tasted that the Lord is good, there is a response to that. Brothers and sisters, that response is to trust in God. It's to understand the milk. It's to understand the meat. But it's to trust that God is good. That he's consistently gracious and that we can trust him. Lord Jesus, I just pray this morning that you help us to understand your word a little bit more. That God, whatever place we're in right now, whether we're in milk or whether we're in steak, Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us to understand your word more. But I pray that my words will get out of the way, that your message will remain and will burn into people's hearts. But thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we can trust you. In your name I pray. Amen. First Peter 2, verses 4 and 8, I believe I've got that on the slide here as well. So, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, in a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So I have a simple question for you today. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus in this scripture? Who is Jesus to you? How do you understand him? How do you see him? I want to say that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. We understand that. We can read that right there. In a second, I'm going to go through what a cornerstone is. But there's this idea that actually that Jesus is the only cornerstone. He is precious. That cut off the H. He is precious. And I think this is going to cut it off as well there. That's a shame. He is the living stone. Jesus is the living stone that is essential for a stable life. I'll say that again. Jesus is the living stone essential for a stable life. That is the only way we're going to have stability. Our lives look different. We all look different, right? Jesus brings us in, puts us in together, and we're all mismatched, right? People from different countries, people from different states, different levels of wealth, different job opportunities, unemployed, employed, with children, without children, grandparents, toddlers, whatever, you know, whatever stage we're in, we are all different. Your life doesn't look the same as mine, and mine doesn't look the same as yours. That's a rare reason. But the thing is, what it's built upon can be the exact same. We're all from different areas. We all have different backgrounds. I talk to the teenagers quite a lot about my testimony. I tell them about the struggles that I went through. I tell them about my mum being married, divorced, married, divorced, married, divorced, married. I talk to them about my addiction problems. I talk to them about fighting people. I talk to them about how I had to give up cursing and how I had to get over certain things in my life to get to where I am now. But I tell them about the only reason I'm able to do that is because of Jesus. Amen. That's the only way this works. It's the only way. Some of you know this already, but we used to live up in near Bellingham, Washington. We lived in a little Dutch town called Linden. And I worked in a construction supply company called Lindale Glass. I loved it. It was really fun. I got to speak to people every day. Everyone remembered who I was because I was the guy with the accent, so I got a lot of sales. It was great. But that was my job. I was selling construction stuff to people. And something that happened every time we were driving around, and it used to, you know, I don't know if it drove Rachel crazy, but I'm pretty sure it did, was we'd be driving along the highway, and I'd look out the window and be like, oh, someone's clearing a plot of land over there. Log that. That's a potential client, you know? And she's like, we're not at work right now. You need to switch off for a second. But I knew that that was another opportunity. I knew there was another opportunity to go and get another client before the big guys got in there, before they swung around to Lowe's and got a, you know, whatever windows they wanted to get. But I knew that there was an opportunity right there. You'd see the land being cleared. Super satisfying, by the way. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this before. Just me? Okay. but like they bring in these big machines, and they just rip up those trees, and they delim them, and they just chuck the big old tree like it's nothing. Big claw, and just launch it. And I'm like, whoa, okay, that's awesome. Bring in a big excavator, they clear the land, they level it out, they rip up those tree trunks left over. It's incredible to see what these machines do. But it's one of those things that I'm like, wow, there's a lot of prep work going in here. These guys must be coming in soon to buy, and should probably get to them now and get their windows ordered. And And I would sit there and I'd watch them, and it'd be like talking with the customer, and then this big truck comes in, starts pouring in the cement. Super satisfying if you're into that stuff. So, but it's super precise. There are stages you have to go through, stages and stages and stages to build up on this thing, to build a foundation level. Because if you don't have a foundation, the whole structure will eventually fail. It will crumble. So a question again for you today, not only who is Jesus, but what is your foundation? What are you building your life upon? We touched on this today with the teens. You're building on the sand, you're building on the rock. But there's a reason why I linked this together with my teens teaching, because it's really important to know what you're building upon. Are you doing it on your own strength, or are you doing it on Jesus Christ? Are you doing it on other things, or are you doing it on Jesus? Because if you're building on Jesus, then it's going to be a lot more successful. I promise you that. Again, we all have different lives. We've all had different visions about how our lives will turn out, right? My first job that I wanted to have, I wanted to be a teacher. Then I got kicked out of school. That's great, right? Yeah. Then I wanted to be a chef, and that didn't last very long. And then I wanted to do public transport, and that didn't happen. And then I wanted to be a football coach, actual football, not American football, English football. Thank you very much. And you know what? I was really good at that. I'll be honest with you, I was really good at that. But, you know, it wasn't a paid position. It was completely voluntary, and I needed to start paying the bills. My wife was, we were expecting a baby. I needed to start providing for my family. And God opened a door to become a youth pastor. And I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming. That wasn't my plan, right? But it was Jesus's. So when I look upon it, it's kind of what is my foundation being built upon? When I was wanting to have all these different jobs and different things, what was I building upon? I was building upon my own abilities, my own doings. Me, 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 look how great I am. So of course it's going to crumble. When you have a sure thing as Jesus Christ as your foundation, you can know it will not crumble. You can be 100% confident that it will stand firm through the ages. And I'm thankful for that. What you build upon matters. There are good things you can build your life upon. Your family. That's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. Maybe a career that's going to line up in the future, that you're going to be able to really look after your family and look after maybe your tithe at church really well. You can up your tithing once you get higher up in the ranks and blah, 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 blah. It seems good. But it's kind of a distraction off of Jesus. Because I think this is the point I'm trying to make here, is I tried to build upon my own abilities, me, my family, my things, my stuff, me, me, me. And it does not last. I used to have a calendar that was linked to my iPhone calendar so that I would know every single Liverpool football game. I would not miss a game. I would not miss a game. And it was, hey, do you want to meet on Wednesday night? I'm like, yeah, what time Wednesday? Because I'm busy from like 6:30 until 9:30. They're like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, Liverpool playing. So, yeah. And they're like, you're going to do that? And I'm like, yeah, 100%, because that's what I was building my life around. When I tell you guys that I loved Liverpool as my team, I still love Liverpool, but I'm not as obsessed. Right? I've given Jesus the priority spot instead. We went to church in Bellingham, and there was a guy who would come, and he was, you know, Bellingham's close to Seattle. You guys like Seattle Seahawks, whatever. And he would come head to toe in Seahawks stuff, and he wouldn't stay the whole sermon. If they had the early kickoff, he'd stand up, he'd walk out. And you knew exactly what he was going to go do. He was going to go and watch the American football game. Not the actual football game. But the point being is, his priority, the foundation that he was building upon, was this imbalance of Jesus and sports. My sports team or Jesus? I don't know which one should win. I tell you which one will win. Right? Yeah. But the tough part is, that's not just a conviction for you guys out there who are addicted to your sports or anything like that. It can be anything. It can be anything. What pulls you away from coming to church? What pulls you away from coming on Wednesday nights to a connection group? What pulls you away from serving in any way, shape, or form? Whatever it is, it's in an imbalance with Jesus here. You're choosing either Jesus or you're choosing something else. Yeah, but I'm really Christian when I watch my games. I don't curse at the TV anymore. Doesn't count. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. Like, who are you putting first? Who are you building your life upon here? I urge you to build it upon Jesus instead. I really realized pretty fast in my teenage years that my life was going to be pretty tough. Right? No father figure. Lots of bad stuff happening. A lot of it my own doing, okay? Not pushing blame on anyone else. But this idea that actually all my hopes and dreams weren't going to work out that way is going to be tough. Because the foundation I was building was pretty limited because it was being built on me, right? I was the thing holding it up. And 13, 14-year-old Jamie with lots of issues and lots of problems couldn't handle that much. I'm thankful for Jesus. Really, I am. And when Peter talks about Jesus being the cornerstone, he is reminding us that the building starts with him. The building starts with Jesus. He is the first thing in place. And this is why it's really tricky, because sometimes we talk about priorities and it's kind of a real soft thing, like maybe you should just try and, you know, align your priorities a little bit better, but it's okay if you don't. No, but seriously, you need to put Jesus first. Because as a cornerstone, that's the first thing that gets put in place. As a cornerstone, that's the thing you align everything else off of. If you don't have a sure cornerstone, what are you doing? What are you doing? In our previous home on Mission, we had a house there. Rachel and I took on this DIY job, and we're really good at DIY, okay? We laid some laminate flooring down. It took a little while, a little bit too long. But it was a challenge because you had to get that first plank squared up. And you know what's really frustrating? When the wall isn't square. So you have to line it up and you have to work out the angle and you have to cut it slightly. And you come back and you're like, no, still kind of crooked. Go back out, cut it again, come back. No. But as soon as you got that first piece in, that first piece was the most crucial part. You could then start building off of that. You could start paving the way and working out what direction, how far you could go. I could finish up this lane, and Rachel would start on the next planks, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and it worked, and it happened really fast after that. But that first one being put in place was crucial. It paved the way of how the rest of it was going to be done. Let that first stone be Jesus. Let that cornerstone be Jesus here, I pray. And this process, it took time and money. It really did. And it looked great afterwards. I was really happy with it. But I want to tell you, and I want to challenge you a little bit this morning, it doesn't matter how much you tithe, you cannot buy Jesus the cornerstone.
That's right.
You can't do it. And just as much as you're coming to church and you're filling the seats, your church attendance does not mean that you have Jesus as the cornerstone.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah, but pastor, I come every week and I'm really serving and I'm a welcomer and then I go and do the lunches and then I do that. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean you have Jesus as priority. That means you have church as your priority. But you know what? Without a church without Jesus is nothing.
Right.
We're just meeting for no reason. So I just need you to know that unless you have Jesus as your priority, as your cornerstone, as number one, this is all for nothing.
Exactly right.
It's about your relationship with him. It's about your relationship with Jesus. It's about your heart. You see, Jesus isn't just a standard brick. He's not just one of these ones you can take out and put out and just replace whenever you want. He's the most crucial. He isn't just a piece of construction material that you can tack up after everything's done just to try and tie it all in and make it look a little bit tidier. He's the key to all of it. And this is something else that I had to kind of work through. If you think you can pick a better cornerstone than Jesus, you are wrong.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to say it, but you're just wrong. It's a painful thing to think about because you're taking that away from Jesus. And maybe you didn't do it intentionally. Maybe you didn't do it kind of thinking you're doing it that way. But you know what? You're taking away the most crucial part of all of this. I don't really care about how shiny the cornerstone is, the one you've replaced him with. But it's really shiny. It's brand new. This one's reinforced. They say it's the best one yet. This one's super fashionable because everyone's getting it. Super popular. It's the bestseller. Amazon's choice. Right? Comes highly recommended by friends. It will not work. It will not hold up. I promise you that if this is the case, if you're trying to replace Jesus, the cornerstone, with whatever else the cornerstone, you will experience instability and your foundation will weaken and eventually fail. It doesn't mean it's going to be like this, because sometimes we think it's the best thing ever, but over time it will crumble. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the living stone that brings stability to our lives. And think about this for a second as well. Jesus is the precious stone to be loved and adored, not just used. When we think of precious stones, what do you think of? I think of like wedding rings. I don't know why, but I do. And it's like diamonds and emeralds and sapphires. And then these big, precious stones that people bring in. And like big purple and pinks and all the different colors. And you're like, whoa, that must be precious because it looks so great. Who here thinks of a brick as precious? Yeah, your whole house is built around that, right? A concrete block in the ground. A cornerstone that was put in first to build your whole foundation. You wouldn't think that's precious, but it's something that you live in every single day. You know, your nice little bling on your finger. Okay, but what's holding up your whole house? Just want to get you to think about that for a second. The most precious stone is the cornerstone that is Christ, Jesus. Not a stone bought for fashion or for status. Or for celebration, which again is a good thing, but it's not the same. It's for building upon, for your life to be built upon. That's the true cornerstone here. Looking at verse 4 here. See if this works. Nope. Did I go to? No, that must be it. Nope. I thought I had a slide there. To whom coming as unto a living stone? So, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Precious. Verse 6, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Unto you therefore, which is precious. That's verse 7. There's something to be said here that you think a brick is a brick, whereas God's saying this cornerstone that you're building upon, this piece of construction or whatever you want to call it, this is precious. And I'm giving him to you so you can build your whole life upon him. You may think that he's just a concrete block, but he is precious in my eyes. Jesus Christ is precious. He is to be loved and adored. That's what it says. That's what it says. If Jesus is not loved and adored, then what is he? If he's not loved and adored, then what is Jesus? He's rejected. Because you either love and adore him, or you don't. There's something to be said about tying that line and being on the fence. You can't really be on the fence of Jesus. You either do or you don't. And this is the way it is. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't stop loving and adoring you, because that's forever. He wants you to know him. He wants you to trust him and to follow him and to follow his word and to have a home in heaven with him. But you know what? You've got to love and adore him. I've got to love and adore him, right? So if he's not loved and adored, he's rejected. And this is super awkward because I'm a pastor. I shouldn't really be rejecting Jesus. My job is to tell people about Jesus. But I tell you what, there are times that I reject Jesus because I choose the world. There are things that I think look a little bit better here, a little bit better, and I choose Jesus, the world instead of Jesus. And I may not understand that or work that out until the end, but it's still a thing that happens. Those temptations, those situations where we get drawn in and we get, there's a big bright light over here and there's Jesus over here, but there's a big bright light right here. That's what it is. If Jesus is not loved and adored, then he is rejected. He is pushed aside. Jesus is set on the back burner and is brought out whenever it's convenient. When I'm in trouble or in a situation, I feel good knowing I have my Jesus card in my back pocket, right? I'm in a sticky situation, I can pull out Jesus. Kind of like an insurance policy. I'll be honest with you, I've never spoken publicly about my insurance policy. I've never shared the details of my car insurance, home insurance, life insurance, whatever. I don't do that. That's not something I do. Jesus isn't an insurance policy. We shouldn't treat him that way. I think that's just a key thing here. He is to be present and not hidden in our lives. He's the cornerstone. And let me just clarify, just in case I kind of troubled you about your youth pastor here and what he's teaching the teenagers. I've received Jesus into my heart. I've accepted him as my king, as my Lord and my Savior. That can never be taken away. My salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. Heaven is my home. I am so grateful for that. But I can live in a way that pushes Jesus away. Okay? I can live in a way that is against the way that he's asking me to live. I can ignore his guidance. I can ignore the truth. I can ignore the Bible. I can ignore him. And I can live this way. But it's by the grace of God that I'm still saved. Don't live that way. Don't live that way. Just because the foundation is strong doesn't mean the structure will stand up if you're not building upon him. Okay. Something I see with Jesus, and I love this because, I try to follow Jesus as much as I can. Maybe not as much in this way. But you see what Jesus does in the Gospels, by being the precious cornerstone, by being the one cornerstone, he calls out all other cornerstones as frauds. He labels everything else that you're doing as fake. And you're like, no, I can't be fake. And you see the reactions of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, all the people that he's saying, you're relying on the wrong thing here. I am the cornerstone and you're relying on the other stuff. That's all fake. That's going to die away. The moths are going to take care of that, I promise. But I'm still going to be here. What you're building on, what you're building your life on, matters. It really does. In the gospel, Jesus is controversial as he points out that all other foundations are frauds. He is controversially telling you the truth, that only he is the true cornerstone. Who believes that this morning? Amen. I'm so thankful for that. That he is the living stone. That he is the truth. And this message took him to the cross. Those people being called frauds, being called fakers, being called liars, deceivers, serpents, took him to the cross because of the truth he was saying. We're meant to be different. Jesus was different. Jesus was pointing out the truth. Ephesians 2:20 says this, and now built up in the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. He is number one. He is in charge. He is the guy. He is the main one. He's the only one. He's the only one. The chief. All other cornerstones will not stand. I promise you that. And that's a painful realization to understand sometimes, that you've built your lives upon something that will not last. That will not last. Build your life on Jesus. Know that it will stand firm. All other foundations will crumble, but Jesus is the firm foundation. He is. When we went down to Lancaster, they have an amazing choir. They have the kids up there. They have the teens. They have the adults up there. And they're all singing. There's like 300 of them. And it's incredible, the power of their voices, all singing. Beautiful, beautiful music. Amazing stuff. And there's one song I love to hear every single time. And I'll Google it, I'll YouTube it, and I'll listen to it on repeat because it just gives me goosebumps. It gives me such, I don't know what it is, passion for Jesus, because it's like, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. And it's how firm our foundation. How sure your salvation. And we will not be shaken. Why? Jesus. Firm foundation. And I think about those lyrics. And I think about those lyrics often. The other night at jiu-jitsu, I was fighting a guy and I was singing that song. And he's like, what song are you singing? And I'm like, you wouldn't know it, but it's about Jesus. And he's like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, no, we're going to talk about this now. And it's great. So whilst we're rolling and we're fighting and he's trying to strangle me, I'm humming along Firm Foundation. It's great. But the whole point is we need to be different because we're built upon something different, right? The rest of the world are building upon things that are going to fade, that are going to crumble, that are going to waste away, that will not be with us in heaven. If you're built upon Jesus Christ, I pray, and I pray that you are, but just know that you can be confident that it's going to stand the test of time because of Jesus Christ. Age to age, he stands faithful to the end. All may fade away, but he will remain. Again, just thankful for those lyrics. Just thankful that actually, whilst I'm able to have these lyrics running around in my head, I'm reminded who Jesus is, what he's going to do, what his purpose is, and where he's going to be in the end of it all. Victorious. I want to build my life upon that. So let me propose something to you today. Make Jesus Christ the cornerstone of your life. If you haven't met Jesus, I would love you to. He's a great man. He's a great king. He's a great savior. I want you to know him. If you hadn't had the opportunity to be in a relationship where you are known completely, loved totally, and forgiven in spite of your sin, then I want you to meet Jesus. Because that's the way it is with him. If you don't know where heaven, don't know heaven is your home, then talk. Talk to me. Talk to someone here. Well, so happy to help you with that. Because this cornerstone business is a serious thing. It really is. What we build upon is a really serious thing. It's a life-saving thing, to be honest. Proverbs 1:32-33 says this, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." It doesn't say there won't be any evil. It doesn't say that. Just be a little bit more quiet. Why? Because of Jesus. Because you're dwelling in the safety of Jesus Christ. I shared this passage on Friday night with the teenagers, and we talked about safety nets. We talked about tightrope walkers and how confident they must be knowing that they have this safety net right underneath them. That they have this thing that's going to catch them every time they fall. And we talked about this idea of what if that safety net was just taken away? That's a long fall. It's a long fall. But if you fall and you're caught by Jesus, you get back up. And Jesus says, oh, you fell there. And you go, I'm really sorry, Jesus. I took my eye off the ball. I'm sorry for falling for that thing again or doing this thing again or whatever it is. And he's like, okay. Well, thanks for coming back to me. I forgive you. Go on back up. Try again. If you fall without Jesus, that's a long fall. That's a long fall. I urge you this morning to know, just think about Jesus. Think about how you're living your life. Are you living without that safety net or are you taking that chance? Don't take that chance. You're important. You're important to Jesus. You're important to us. We want you to know Jesus. We've all seen those house shows. Who's seen a Fixer Upper or Million Dollar House or House Bargains or whatever it's called? We've all seen them, right? There was a big phase and everyone was watching it and everyone was talking about these people. And it's amazing because you go through this process with these new buyers and they come up to the sellers and they're like, oh, I really love this house. It's fantastic. And then they go, yeah, here's a couple of the problems. Like, no, but let's just buy it anyway. And you're like, oh, you don't want to hear about the issues with the house? Like, no, it's just fantastic. Look at the house, the back garden, looks over the ocean, or whatever, right? Just, they're just besotted by this house. Gotta have it. And then they move in, and a couple of days after, they realize there's a big crack in the foundation, and the sellers are like, hey, we were going to tell you about it, but you just wanted to go ahead. And they're like, oh, but what do we do about it? Well, that's a big cost. That's a big deal. That's a big problem to have. Big problem. We watched one show, and it was like in New Orleans or something like that, and they actually had to jack the house up. And it was incredible. Just to fix the foundation underneath, because it was all shot. It was terrible. And you're like, how much money to repair it? How much money to fix it? How much money to get all these things back in place? To rent all the machinery? To get the men? To get the insurance? Afterwards, they had paid the same price of the house on the repairs of the house. And you kind of go, wow. All of that could have been changed if you just looked at the foundation that you're building upon, that this house was built upon. The typical solution is that it all needs to be torn down and made new. That's pretty much what the shows tell me anyway. And maybe that's a bit drastic. Maybe they just want some more money. I don't know. I'm not a builder. I'm not a contractor. I can't answer that question. But I'm thankful that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: there, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah, old things have passed away. They have become new. Yeah. We have been torn down and are being built back up again. If you come to Jesus and you say, I love you, Jesus. I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. I want you to be number one. Then what happens is suddenly all of your stuff comes crushing down. The foundation gets dug back up. Jesus gets inserted as cornerstone, as first place, as number one in your life. And then you slowly get built back up again. And yeah, that process is painful and it's uncomfortable. And you're kind of like, I don't want to get rid of that bit of my life. And Jesus is saying, actually, that part of your life really isn't good for you. And then sometimes one of Jamie's little bricks gets thrown into the mix of, yeah, but I really love this thing. So I'm just going to try and slide this in whilst Jesus isn't looking. Yeah, and it throws off the whole building process, and then we have to start again, right? I'm just telling you that before you get too far in to having these problems with your foundation, accept Jesus as the cornerstone. Let him do that work. Let him build upon you a great mansion, a great house, a great structure that will stand the test of time. Because if you've truly accepted him, the old things are gone. And you can know that 100%. You can be confident that you are changed through Jesus Christ. And you've become new, made new. When I went back to England after living in Plymouth for a little while, I left England and I had really long, scraggy hair. You can ask Rachel, she'll vouch for this. And I used to wear the same band t-shirts all the time, ripped jeans, scruffy looking, and it would be like, meh, whatever. Then I went back to England, back to Andover, and it's only about 4 hours different, 3 hours different, something like that. But I went back with a fresh haircut, wearing polo shirts and obviously shorts, because that's just what I wear. And I wasn't recognized. The same people who I went to school with, same people who I had all my struggles with, they were all the same, but I was different. And people didn't recognize me. That happens when Jesus takes control of your life. You are changed. I'm thankful for this, Kate, for this and for Jesus in this process. So is Jesus your cornerstone? Is he really your cornerstone? Are you choosing him to be the basis of your whole building process? Because if he's not, start today. Start that today, knowing that he is good, knowing that he is gracious, knowing that he is merciful and loving and kind. And then it doesn't matter how long this process takes. It's not meant to be, boom, mansion. It's a process. It is a process. It's a journey where we get to know Jesus a little bit more every single day. We know that God views Jesus as valuable, as precious, loved and adored. So what do you say about him? What do you say about him? Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Jesus is a chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. Elected by the Most High God, precious, a tried stone, a sure foundation. Bless you, sister. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is. Psalm 118:22-23, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous, marvelous in our eyes. Of course it is, because it's God's doing, right? If it was our doing, it would be meh. But because it's God's, it is marvelous. There is a difference here from what I can do to what God can do. And I want people to see what God's done in my life and say, that is marvelous. Because that wasn't done in Jamie's strength. That wasn't done with Jamie's abilities. That wasn't done on my own back and my own breath. That was on God. And it is marvelous. I'm thankful that God changes us in this way. God has given us a cornerstone. We need to accept Jesus as that. That's how this starts as well. We need to accept that that's his place. Number one, first thing in the ground, Jesus Christ, cornerstone. So the last section here, 1 Peter 2:9-10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, marvelous. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. I am so thankful for that mercy. I am so thankful for that. This claim that was once exclusive to Israel is now available to every Christian. Praise God. Praise God for that. I look around and I think, we are peculiar, right? We are an odd bunch, right? I don't know. Are we? We are in this world. We're meant to be. People who are standing not for their own status, but for God's, that is peculiar in this world. People who are living for their, not living for their own personal gain, but for Jesus' glory, that's peculiar in this world. People who love instead of hate, that's peculiar in this world. People who forgive instead of holding on to transgressions, that's peculiar in this world. We see the way that the world is going. We see the hate. We see the cancel culture. We see the different things being forced onto people here in this world. And we think to be peculiar just means to go against that. Well, no, to be peculiar is to stand up like Jesus stood up and declare the truth, even if it meant going to the cross. We are called to be peculiar people by the fact we're standing up for the truth. It is peculiar in this day and age. But we have a reason to be different. We have a Savior who has paid the price for sin completely. We are sinners. We are. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. The first step in this is to admit that, right? But thankfully, we have a Savior who paid the price, who took the sins on his shoulders and went to the cross. And now we have to personally accept that into our hearts. And then when we do that, we are made new in Christ Jesus. That's this process. That's the gospel. Right? We no longer have to live the way of the world because we know the one who has overcome this world. John 16:33 reminds us of that. I've overcome it. It's done. Not in a process of being overcome. It's overcome. It's done. It's finished. He's done it. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about whether you accept that truth, whether you accept Jesus as your cornerstone. And I've got three questions for you here. And I'm hoping this slide doesn't mess up a little bit. But number one, let's see. Are there things in your life that are competing with Jesus? What's causing that little commotion inside your heart right now? What are you saying? Ah, but Jesus, this thing's really cool and I want to hold on to it for a second. Is it sports? Is it your career? Is it friends? Is it family? Is it an addiction? Is it, what is it? Because you may see it and think, this is really good. But if it's making you compete with Jesus, I want to challenge you there. And say, actually, we need to make sure we know who's number one. And it should be Jesus. Second question, do you feel like a stranger in this land? Do people see you as peculiar because of your faith? Good. Good. I want to tell you a very quick story. I've already said it tonight. Today we go to a gym. We go to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym, okay? We practice martial arts. We fight people. I get armbarred every single week. It's fantastic. But there's a guy there called Dan. Coach Dan. Coach Dan's a single dad. And Coach Dan's got a tongue on him, right? He can fire out curse words left, right, and center. And the first time he met me, he said, what's your name? And I said, Jamie. He's like, hey, I'm Dan. And I was like, Coach Dan, nice to meet you. And he's like, oh, no, you can just call me Dan. And I'm like, you a coach? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, Coach Dan. Show a bit of respect. You know. So what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. I'm a youth pastor at a church. Oh, I'm so sorry for swearing so, cursing so much. I'm so sorry. And it wasn't from me saying it. But he saw the peculiar thing of me not shouting at people, me not cursing at people, me not getting aggressive if someone submits me or fights me and a little bit too rough. I don't care. That's fine. We'll get over it. And he saw a difference there. So we've went from him cursing every other word to him having a curse jar at the gym. Which is pretty great. And we went from having a curse jar at a gym to me saying, I'm going to pray for you. What can I pray for? And we went from me offering prayer to him turning around and saying, I'll read any book that you give me as long as it's not the Bible. I said, okay. So I gave him Mere Christianity from C.S. Lewis. but we went from there to myself and Rachel and the boys coming up to him because he has a big thing in Bellingham, Washington this weekend to become a Muay Thai teacher, a professor of Muay Thai. He's got this 4-day test. And we went up to him and we just said, we are praying for you. We were really rooting for you to do well here. And he's amazed every time I say that I'm praying for him because he can't work out how fighting and prayer goes together. And I said, read the Old Testament. But the point is, he saw a peculiar thing here of, you don't do the thing that everyone else does. Why? There must be something different. If people aren't noticing that you're different, why aren't they? What are you not standing up for? What are you not saying? What are you not challenging people over? Everyone in my gym now, everyone, you can ask Rachel, you can ask anyone at the gym, what my name is. It is not Jamie. It's Pastor Jamie. They all know that I'm a pastor. They all know that I love Jesus. They all know that I carry a Bible in my gym bag. They all know that I am willing to pray for them whenever they ask. They all know that they're in trouble if they do. Because I'll talk their ears off, right? But the whole point is, you're noticed because you're peculiar. Why are you peculiar? Because you're standing for the truth. Because your life's built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. You are different. You are called to be different. Third question, I think, what are you consuming here? Maybe you do know Jesus as your cornerstone. Maybe this whole sermon here has not been for you, and I'm sorry for that. Maybe it's been a little bit challenging, and I hope it is. So maybe the question is, what are you consuming instead? Are you consuming the simple truths of the Bible, of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you consuming those simple truths, and you're just happy right there? Then I'm going to challenge you to get deeper. Move on to steak. I'm pretty sure everyone in the room, apart from the baby, have developed steak chompers by now, okay? Right? You've all got teeth. We can get deeper into this. Get into your Bible. Get into your Bible and understand that there is more than just milk for you. Understanding Jesus Christ is a big deal. Knowing who he is and confidently saying that he is your cornerstone is important. Do you know Jesus as your cornerstone? Do you know him? That song that was played in the intermission, Christ alone, cornerstone. Nothing else. Christ alone.
All right. Well, you don't have to clap for preaching, but that was a great message. Thank you, Pastor Jamie. This is Terry. I'll just invite you to come if you want to just come and play, and we'll just give you a moment to respond here, just with you and the Lord, to the testimony. That was really good. That message was a good balance of milk and steak in there. Thank you, Pastor Jamie. I got a bunch of notes out of that. As I was reflecting on that, one thing I just thought about too is the Lord's done that work in my life. Maybe has in yours as well. Listen, what you're building on, that cornerstone analogy is really, really good. Because sometimes you can have something that God wants you to have as a part of your life. Family, friendships, you know, a job, even sports. Those things can be things that God wants you to have as a part of your life. But they can't be the cornerstone of it. When the Lord's had to work on some of those things in my life, family, you know how important family is to me. And taking care of my daughter, how important that is to me. But that can't be what my life is lined up against. That can't be the thing that everything else is built off of. If that's true, when my daughter struggles, and she does, when my family goes through hard times, and we do, there's no stability anymore. God doesn't want to take your family away from you. He wants it lined up against the cornerstone. Pastor Jamie's example of sports, I don't relate to that particularly, but his testimony about the gym, it's not that God doesn't want Jamie to go to jiu-jitsu. He wants his experience there lined up against the cornerstone. And it changes it. It makes that, it's not just sports anymore. It's not just wrestling and getting arm-barred and whatever. It's infused with this eternal meaning and purpose now. It's still good. It's not even just good anymore. Now it's precious. Now it's wonderful. Listen, whatever it is Jesus, sometimes we hold these things so tightly. I do this. I'm sure some of you relate to this. We hold it so tight. We're so afraid that if we made Jesus the center, he's going to like ruin our lives. He's going to make us sad and miserable. You are going to make you sad and miserable. I'm going to make me sad and miserable. Jesus is going to give us joy. But he's got to be first. Don't line Jesus up with the other things in your life. Line the other things up in your life with Jesus as the cornerstone. Thank you, Pastor Jamie, for that message. That was a blessing. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, every head to bow, every eye close in a moment, we're going to sing. But before we do that, what's that thing in your life that it's hard? Is there something in your life that you have as the cornerstone that's not Jesus? Today, maybe you talk to Jesus about making him first, having him be the thing that everything else is lined up against, everything else is squared up against and built on. You talk to Jesus, just you and him, and we'll sing and have an invitation in just a moment.
Please stand with me and sing two verses of Lord, I'm Coming Home. I wandered far away. away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. Great message, Brother Jamie. And because it's something to go home and work on. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for Pastor Jamie's heart and bringing your words to us. I pray just that it would find fertile ground in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for being the cornerstone, Lord, precious and living stone on which we should align all things. Lord, the world is, and our lives are so filled with distractions and things going on and things to grab our attention. Lord, even though those are going on, we just saw this morning how we can align those with you as the cornerstone that's immovable and permanent. Thank you for what a blessing that is and can be to our lives if we would just align and attach ourselves to you. Thank you for that word this morning. Bless each one that came and that are able to tune in on the live stream. Lord, just strengthen us and grow our walk with you to be ever closer and more in alignment. Thank you for that. I ask your blessing on each. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You are dismissed.